Bondi Tunes International, I would just like to explain to our listeners that we had some internet connection problems here in Australia, which we're very famous for, and there's a lot of overlap in this conversation, but it's not too distracting, I hope. We sort of kind of talk over each other. Take a listen. It's interesting stuff. This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world, and we welcome our listeners on FM in Australia and New Zealand. Adam Devlin is in Brisbane. He's our Australian political correspondent in Queensland. Melissa Creamer is in Melbourne, Victoria. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hello, everyone.
Now, we're going to do a kind of a different thing here. We're just going to bang out 10 questions, for want of a better term. And let's start with this now. Dogs or cats? I'm going to start with you, Melissa, and then Adam, and then myself. Dogs or cats, Melissa?
Neither.
Okay. Have you?
If you had to give me a choice, I'm saying no to both. Thank you.
Did you grow up with a dog? Did your family have a dog or a cat?
I grew up on 5 acres in what's known as a market garden in Australia. We had 5 dogs. We also had a cat.
5 dogs.
I was in the house person. Yeah, they were all outside. We had 5 acres.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Is there any particular reason you don't like these animals?
I don't like animal hair. I have a bit of OCD. I want to blame it on Sesame Street. When I was younger, Sesame Street came on and they were all playing with this dog.
Yes.
In Sesame Street, and they went to get milk and cookies, and, you know, the adult said, oh, you've been playing with dogs and dogs have germs. You've got to always wash your hands before eating and after touching a dog. And I think that might have stuck in my 3-year-old head. So yes. There's my answer of neither.
Fair enough. And let's face it, Sesame Street can really damage children.
You think I can sue them? No, joking, Sesame Street.
Adam, cats or dogs? We've talked about this recently.
We have.
Cats or dogs?
Despite the fact that we have a new pup in our house, in our family, little Vivian, I'm still a cat person. Now, if I had to choose between a cat or a dog, I'd like to choose a cat.
And tell us why that is.
Well, the thing I like about cats is if they're with you, it's because they want to be with you. It's not that out of some sense of loyalty or obligation or something. Like dogs, always, you know, they're bound full of excitement when they see you and they jump up on you, and it's lovely. I love all of that. But sometimes with a cat, you'll just, you know, you'll want to pet the cat and it'll just look at you and walk away.
Yes.
Because it doesn't want to be petted at that time.
They're very fussy.
And I like that sense of independence that a cat has for a dog.
The irony of all this is that, you know, I am a dog person. But I have a cat. You're a cat person, but you've got a dog.
Look, I love dogs almost as much as cats, I have to say. We grew up in a small country town. We had several dogs and several cats my whole childhood. I've always lived with a cat or a dog, or often both. And I have to say that within the next month or so, we will have a cat as well.
That's going to be interesting with the dog. It does work if they're young enough, I suppose. They'll get on together.
And I just date dogs.
You hate dogs.
I just date a lot of dogs.
Do you know?
I was going to give you a joke answer when you said dogs or cat. I was going to say, are you talking about dinner?
Do you know, in the suburb of Bondi, and in the eastern suburbs in general, they want to ban cats from going outside the house, as I say, because they do a lot of damage, Adam. They can do, yes. Well, they just do.
And the cats. I won't have every cat on the planet besmirched by the habits of some untrained cats.
But I thought the whole point of putting a bell around their neck was to stop them from doing that.
Well, yeah. A lot of people don't do that. Anyway, also,
if you don't let them out at night, and if they're a house cat, if you keep them inside during the day, and we let them out and you're with them when they're outside, and you don't let them out at night on their own, they don't harm anything.
Yeah, actually, upstairs, I'm living in a unit in an apartment block. Upstairs, the girl has two cats, and they've never seen anywhere outside doors, outdoors, anywhere in their whole lives. So they don't know what they're missing.
No.
Okay,
And
now.
if a cat is well fed, it won't chase native animals, it won't hunt birds like
That's
the.
not true. That's not true.
That is true.
No,
I've lived
look,
with
I've
cats my
got.
whole life,
Well,
and they've
listen, let me
never,
t
my
look.
cats have never done
Well, my
that.
cat, both of my cats, we've had at different times, have been fed extremely well and come home with rats. They do it for play. It's just a plaything for them,
Well,
you know?
no, but rats are different.
Are they? I see.
Yeah,
You're talking about other kind of more important
rats are a
animals.
pest. That's perfectly fine for them to kill them. But I'm talking about native birds, native
Yeah.
marsupials, native reptiles,
Indeed.
things like that.
It's in their nature. It doesn't matter how much you feed them, it's in their nature.
I agree with that.
It's also in how you train them as well. Like I honestly, I've had cats my entire life, and I can only recall once that a cat has brought home a bird.
Well, what my girlfriend
And my
cat.
cats were inside outside animals. Like as and honestly, I've only had once
But you see, but Adam, you
the
don't know.
300 years I've been alive that I've only had
But
once that a cat's brought an animal home.
you don't know what they're doing that they don't bring home. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't care about
Okay.
Same could be said of a lot of husbands, Henry.
Yes, this is true.
Exactly.
excuse me. Let's go on to a less important issue. I shouldn't say that. God or no God? Melissa.
I'm culturally Catholic, so I was raised to believe in God. So I'm not sitting on the fence, but I've been to Jerusalem, I've been to all these holy places, and I can definitely say I've had spiritual experiences there. So I'm going to say yes.
Right, okay. Adam.
I'm a complete, absolute, no
No.
hesitation atheist. I cannot believe in the being of a god. I just can't.
It's interesting because there's a difference between atheist and agnostic.
There is.
Explain that.
Well, an atheist doesn't believe in the existence of a god at all, in any way, shape, or form, whereas an agnostic is, just like Melissa just said, a bit on the fence. They don't necessarily believe in a god as such, but they believe in something.
Oh, I see. That might be me. I'm a spirit. I've never, from the age of seven, and in the children's homes, God was pumped into our brains. And at the age of seven, I realized this is all bull. Well, I can't use that word. But the thing is,
Well, it's.
I just realized it was just, it didn't make any sense to me at the age of seven.
Yeah.
I'm actually a spiritualist, and it's interesting. The modern religions, such as Catholicism, Protestantism, Judaism, they're only 2,000 years old. Let's think about shamanism, which is about 20,000 years old, and it's not a religion. It's a very spiritual belief system, and
Yeah.
I'm into that. That's what I'm into.
What about animism? I'm not even saying that right. I think that's like shamanism. It's when you believe in the spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I'm not saying that there isn't some sort of spiritual existence. But I don't think it's a god. I don't think it's an all omnipresent god as God is sold to us. I think, there's certainly I'm a big believer in that, energy can't be created or destroyed,
Me too, me too.
and we are nothing but an energy field at the end of the day. But I don't know if that means our conscience or our personality goes with our energy when our energy transfers to something else. I don't know about that. But I
Well,
certainly do believe that, in look, there are things that I can't explain, that I don't necessarily believe is a god as such, but I still, but in the pure physical world, I can't explain it. And so I'm
sorry.
sorry, go on.
I was going to say the word God confuses me for a start. What is God? Is God an entity, or what is God? I just don't even understand what God is.
Yeah.
But
Henry, if we knew the answer to that question, we wouldn't have walls, right?
If we knew the answer to that question, I'd be running a super religion in America.
Well, they are already are, probably.
God is what I can tell you. God is what I can convince you it is.
Yeah, well, you know, this brings us on to our next question. What are your views on what happens after you die? Melissa.
I don't know.
come on, think know. About it.
You know, we all think that our loved ones are there watching over us, and if you believe in God, then, sorry, ghosts, then obviously you exist after you pass away. But there's something a little bit freaky about, like, thinking that your grandparents are watching you have sex, for example.
Yes.
Mm. Did I take that too far? But
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what happens after you die, you know, I believe in reincarnation, and there's no proof of that, of course. I've watched a lot of stuff and read a lot of stuff about it, and I'm inclined to believe in reincarnation. There's too many kids talking
about... Now, Steven Seagal... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, you go on.
Steven Seagal believes he's the reincarnation of Genghis Khan.
Okay.
And he played Genghis Khan in a film. I would like to know, how does he prove that?
Yeah, and I find it interesting that these people who claim that they are a reincarnation of somebody from history, from other times, it's always somebody important. It's never just, oh, I was a dishwasher in Jerusalem in you know, 300 BC.
But I have watched a lot of stuff on this, and, you know, these children are talking about being in the Second World War and getting killed, and they've never seen anything on TV related to war, and they're only 4 years old. I mean, yeah. It's very compelling.
There's some very interesting accounts like that around,
yeah.
And I can't explain those. But for me, I think when I die, my body will decompose, my energy will be absorbed by the things consuming me, and me as an entity will cease to exist.
Really? Do you think you mentioned earlier on something that, you know, I learned at school, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, it can only be transferred.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm thinking in a spiritual term, that you could actually, when you die, that this energy force, you know, we've got the conscious, the subconscious, and the third one is the self-conscious.
Yeah.
The conscious, the subconscious, that dies with your body, but the self-conscious goes on. Do you reckon there's any credibility to that thought?
Personally, I don't. But I also say that I don't know either. You know, these things aren't proven. There's no way to test them or prove them. They're an interesting concept. I'll give it that. But personally, I don't agree with it myself. But I certainly don't judge others for having those views. And I've certainly watched a lot of and read a lot of interviews with people who claim to have some sort of experience with that. Hmm. And some of them are incredibly compelling. Some of them are really, really interesting.
I know, yeah.
I have a story.
Yes, Melissa?
So my English grandmother, when she passed away, she really believed in spirits and people's ghosts hanging around. And she would often say that one of her grandparents was a gypsy and she had gypsy blood. Now, she died in the middle of the night, early morning, and that evening I went to the pub to have a few drinks for her, and I was sitting there at the bar and I was about to raise a glass to my grandmother and say to one of the barmen, my grandmother just passed away. And before I could do that, and I was about to say it, there was a pint glass sitting on a shelf behind me. And from nowhere, the pint glass fell to the ground and broke.
Oh,
and
no.
Everyone just turned and said, what was that? And without missing a beat, I said, that was my gran. And they looked at me and I said, my grandmother passed away this morning. And I was just about to toast her and tell you that she passed away. And I think that was her. And then the next thing you know, I felt this warm presence behind me, and it felt like I had a hand on my shoulder.
Oh, no.
And this warmthness and this hand stayed there. And then I was like, I said to the bartenders, I think that was my gran. Someone ran to try and, you know, clean the glass. And then I took my leave and I was walking home and I could still feel this presence and this warmthness and like there was a hand on my shoulder. And I said, gran, I appreciate that you've come to say goodbye. I think it was your time and I think you were ready. I appreciate you coming to talk to me. I'm good. I'm okay with where you are. Thank you. And then my shoulder went cold.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It could have all been in my head and I had been drinking, but that's an experience that I had.
Adam, what are your thoughts on that?
I had bartenders to see it.
And look, I'm not going to diminish that experience in any way. It's, look, the what I will say is, it may very well have been. I don't know either way. Personally, I don't believe in the spirit world as such, as people explain it to me. I find that difficult to believe. And our minds work in incredible ways that we will never in our lifetimes understand.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, emotional trauma is very deep and very strong. We have no concept of what that does to our psyche, to our brain, to our bodies. Mm. And, you know, these experiences, just like that one that you had, Melissa, and I'm not diminishing that in any way, but...
I know what you're saying. It's all about the brain.
We can't explain it.
But the thing is, just because we can't explain things doesn't mean we can't think about them. And
of course.
You know what I mean?
And I spend a lot of time thinking about this sort of stuff. I've had a lot of spiritual and religious friends over the years. I've certainly, in times of you know. Trauma and stress and doubt and grief, I've certainly questioned a whole lot of things and spent a lot of time thinking about this. And for me personally, and this is not something I would ever expect anyone else to sign on to, and it's not something I would preach about, but I, as I said a minute ago, I just think that when I die, I'm just going to be consumed by microorganisms, worms, whatever it is, where, you know, whatever happens to me, my body, and me as a being will cease to exist.
Right. Well, I'm just wondering if you were reincarnated. I'm just getting over a very bad cold. If you were reincarnated, right, what would you like to be? Or, you know, you could be an animal, you could be a bird, you know. What would you like to be, either of you?
A man.
Is that because they're treated better?
I would want to be a man knowing what I know about being a female.
Fair enough.
So that's a big ask.
Yes, fair enough. Adam?
Look, if I was going to be an animal of some sort, it would have to be an animal that is so far removed from mankind that I would be safe from any sort of influence of humanity. And I can't think of an animal that does that, so I would have to say I would come back as another human being.
But maybe in Amazon desert.
Because we don't care about any other animals, really, as a species.
That's true, isn't it?
We assume that every other species is there for our taking and our use.
Mm.
And so, you know, we really have put ourselves at the very top of the, you know, the animal kingdom. And so I wouldn't want to be any other animal other than a human.
Yeah, I'd be a bird. You can fly.
A bird would be interesting. I think a fish, you know, a deep sea fish could also be interesting.
They're getting polluted by the oceans as well.
Well, they are. We've pretty much destroyed the oceans. So maybe a fish is a bad choice. Birds are good, depending on where you are, of course, what sort of bird you are and where you are. I'd hate to be something like a budgie or something like that and stuck in a cage.
I'd want to be an eagle. Kill everything around me.
Yeah. Would it be an eagle or a Russian president?
Well, you know, I think I'll pick the eagle. Thank you. From Sydney, Australia, Henry O'Donovan on Bondi Tunes International. If you just join us, I'm talking with Adam Devlin in Brisbane, Queensland, Melissa Grima in Melbourne, Victoria. Here in Australia, I'm Henry in Sydney, and we're just doing 10 questions. Right, now, here's a difficult one for me. Endless money or endless love?
Well, I know the song Endless Love. I don't know the song Endless Money.
Come on, answer the question, you guys.
No, endless love all the way. Yeah. You know, money's never been a main motivator in my life.
You just need it to live, you know?
I live the best life I can. I put my best effort into the things that earn me money so that I can live the life I want to live.
Yeah.
Sure, endless money would be fun, but if it meant not having love in my life, what's the point?
Melissa, what are your thoughts on this? Endless money or endless love?
I have neither, so I'm going with love.
Love. Okay. Well, look, here's
love's
the
all you need.
There's not a lot of songs being quoted here. I think, well, the problem with endless money is that most people who have lots of money have terrible relationships. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say, and they also tend not to be very happy people.
Well, that's because they're screwing everyone else.
Yeah. when money's the focus, the relationships in your life take second place, and
yeah,
that creates issues. So,
yeah.
And I think, you know, love is always worth more than money.
Sorry, Melissa.
To quote another song, money can't buy me love. Mm.
Okay.
You're in the right suburbs.
I think, you know, I'd have to, you know, I've never been rich. So, you know, I'm doing okay. I've been with my partner for 29 years and we're not rich, that's for sure. But, you know, if I had endless money, I'd probably attract the wrong kind of women.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Also, it depends on what you mean by rich.
Well, it's,
you know, Henry,
it's relative, isn't it? Yeah.
You just said you're not rich.
Relative, yes.
To a very large proportion of the population on this planet, you are incredibly rich. Rich.
How come?
You own several properties in one of the most expensive cities on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You have money to do most of the things you want to do. You live a decent lifestyle.
You've blown my thing.
So, in comparison to some of the impoverished people in Asia or the impoverished people in Africa, you're in the if you live in Australia and you've got a roof over your head, you're in the top 5% of the wealthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
So wealth and rich is it depends on what you're comparing it to.
Yeah, it's all relative, I know.
Yeah, if you're comparing it to just Australia, you know, I would still say that you're certainly more affluent than a lot of people are.
Yeah.
I know I'm certainly, I consider myself quite affluent. Or is that affluent? but, you know, of course there are many richer people than me in this country and there are many richer people than me in the world. But, you know, how much more do I need? How much more do any of us need?
This is the problem, you know. People who are into money, it's just never enough. And we were talking about relationships with people who've got money. It's like the money comes before the relationship. I call this greed, okay? Because it really is greed. They don't need.
Yeah.
People who are millionaires want, you know, if they've got 1 million, they want 2 million. Why? What are they going to do? You know.
You know, I look at people like Rupert Murdoch and I go, you know, here's a man in his 90s.
Yeah, keeps losing relationships.
And it just has to have more and more and more all the time. And I mean, he's not unique in that sense. I mean, there's a whole bunch of billionaires on the planet.
He is revolting, that man.
Oh, he's absolutely soulless, moralless. But, you know, and there are many people like him. And it's like, well, how much more do you need?
Yeah, but this is it. It never ends. It never ends. And if we're not careful, we won't get through these questions. And now here's a good one, and I'm going to start with you, Adam. Would you rather be a fairy or a tall dwarf?
Now, you know the answer to this, Henry. I am a fairy. As a gay man, I'm a fairy.
Okay.
And I'm sprinkling magic dust over everywhere I go.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Adam. Okay, so that was a quick answer from Adam.
I dropped out just then. Did Adam say he was a fairy?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Well, can I just jump in and say it's a trick question because I'm an extra tall dwarf, Henry.
Yeah, Oh, you
literally.
Are?
No, because a little person in the USA is classified as being 4'10", and I'm 4'10.5", so I am a tall dwarf, so I'd rather be a fairy.
You'd rather be a fairy?
I'm a tall dwarf.
But you'd rather be a fairy?
Well, yeah, because I am a tall dwarf, so I'd like to be something else.
Oh, I see. I got you. I think that.
In that, do you mean you'd like to be taller?
Well, a fairy's actually smaller, but I'm already a tall dwarf, is what I'm getting at. Yeah, right. Like I'm literally a dwarf, except I've got an extra 5. Is it centimeters? I'm 4.10.5.
Yeah.
I think I'd go with the tall dwarf myself. It's a ridiculous question. I just found it on the web and I don't really understand it, but that's okay. We do that stuff in this show.
Maybe it's a Lord of the Rings reference, Henry, that went over all of our heads.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
I've never watched those shows. I can't stand them. Movies. Now, if you could live in another era.
The movies are all the books are amazing.
Oh, I don't read, so I haven't got the attention span. but I never watch the movies. If you could live in another era, what era would it be? As in decades, that kind of thing.
Now, this depends. If we go back to a previous question, I had endless money.
Mm-hmm.
I'd live in the 1920s.
Oh, wow.
Oh, good point.
If I had my assets and wealth now... Mm. If I had my assets and wealth that I have now, I would. Now is the time I wanted to live in because life has never been easier than it is today.
Yeah, I just want to let our listeners know, just in case they didn't get what you just said. If it was the 1920s now, there was the Wall Street crash in 1929. So it was really the 30s when all the bad stuff went down. And if you were wealthy then... You might have got all your money taken out of the bank. You might have ended up being as poor as everyone else.
But I'm talking about the decade before the crash.
Oh, I see. Okay. And why the 20s then?
The flash. Well, because it was an incredibly romantic period. Mm. There was, coming out of the First World War, there was this immense growth in wealth in the Western world. And there was a lot of innovation, technological innovation. Mm. It was a really boom period. There was a lot of focus on partying and having fun, if you had money.
Yes, so if you didn't.
I always sort of qualify this by saying, if you didn't have money, now is the time to live.
Yes.
But if I had money, the 1920s would be perfect.
Right.
Because all the hard stuff you could afford to pay somebody else to do.
Can you guys just talk to each other for a second? I'm just going to do something with this cat because he's driving me nuts. You guys just talk to each other for a second, okay?
So that's why I say the 1920s, if I had a lot of money. What about yourself, Melissa?
For me, I think I would like to go and live in the 70s. And I guess that's ironic for the two of you, but... I would like to live in the 70s because I would have liked to have experienced Woodstock, but also I would like to have traveled in the 70s because we weren't so, is gentrified the word I want to say, because traveling now, everyone's influenced, by greater culture as a whole. And I'd like to go and experience destinations before they were, had an influx of tourism. And if you think about like going through Afghanistan before. In the 70s and all the opium and seeing all the Buddhist statues before they were blown up, that's what I'd like to return to.
McDonald's and going somewhere where there isn't McDonald's and KFC and Coca-Cola and live actual other cultures. Real culture.
Yes.
Unique culture.
And the first time I went to Malta in 1994, there was no McDonald's or KFC or Burger King, and it was amazing. Yeah. And, to go and travel back then, where travelling was – I mean, travelling is still very adventurous, of course, but it was something quite different. And to just go overland between Singapore and London, which is where the Lonely Planet all started, that would have been amazing to do. So that's my pick. Yeah.
And it's just too easy now to travel and not travel, if that makes sense.
Every city is the same, right?
Pretty much. you can pretty much go anywhere in the world now and still live your same lifestyle, eat your same diet, eat, drink the same drinks. Like, you're not challenged anymore. You can easily travel to most of the cities in the world today and not be culturally challenged by it.
But you don't need to because the influencers tell you where to go. You've got influencers that tell you where to go and what to see. So you just get off a plane, go take the photo that they've put there, and then get back on the plane and go to the next destination. You
also, the tour guides drive me nuts.
If you want to go somewhere interesting and different, go somewhere that they're telling you not to go.
Yeah, like North Korea. which you've been to, Melissa.
Which, of course, you've been to, Melissa,
Melissa, while I was dealing with this cat, you see why I like dogs? Did you pick a particular time that you would, be interested
Yes,
in?
I said I said the 70s because travel would be all completely different to what it is now. So that would be my heyday, you know.
Well, I grew up in the 70s.
Free love and all that.
I was a teenager in the 70s. Yes. I was only about seven in Woodstock era 1969, which is very sad. Okay. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you? And don't say just 10, okay? How weird are we at, on a scale of 1 to 10?
Go on, Melissa.
Go ahead. I'll let you go, Adam.
Look, I consider myself, and this is based on a lot of self-reflection and a lot of often unrequested feedback from others.
Yes.
I think I'm quite weird.
I've known you for nearly 30 years. I agree.
It's good weird, I think. I hope. I'm odd. I think I'm quite odd.
What number would you put it on?
11?
No, you can't do that.
I'd say 7 or 8.
Yeah, I was going to say 7 as well. Melissa, how weird are you?
Probably a 7.
We're all 7s.
I think we're all 7s.
I figure it just depends on how drunk I am. Because I get more weird. I'm not a violent drunk. I'm a silly drunk, you know?
Yes.
And that makes me weird. Does alcohol...
done some crazy... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no. Tell me what crazy stuff you've done, Melissa.
I once stripped hot wax on a Libyan in a bar in Beijing and he wanted to kill me.
You know what? We actually met in Beijing, you and I. So tell me, I'm glad you didn't do it to me in Beijing.
And I'm glad you didn't kill us.
How did this story come about?
You just mentioned drunk, weird stuff. I once stripped hot wax from a candle on a Libyan guy's neck.
Yeah, but the question
he wasn't
is why?
Too happy.
Why?
Because I could.
Were you drunk?
I don't know. I was drunk.
In Libya? Where were you?
No, I was in Beijing in a bar.
In Beijing, like, but he's a Libyan guy, right?
Yeah, I would do really stupid things just to see how much I can get away with. That's not necessarily a good thing. I think there was a movie called Rebel Without a Cause, which they sum it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well. I don't know. I think about 7 for me. It does, it's kind of weird. You're kind of, I think, between 1 and 10 varies from my age group. You just mentioned, your what you did, Melissa. I'm guessing that you were quite young when you did that.
Oh, I would have been 28. So not that young.
Oh, okay.
26 or 27. Yeah, 26, 27. So no, you're old enough to know better.
Well, I would think so.
But young enough to still do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Adam, do you think the age group is a big thing with this? Do you think people get less weird and more bored or more boring when they get older?
I don't know so much. It depends what you mean by the term weird. I would say that from my experience, my weirdness, in inverted commas, hasn't really changed that much with the decades as they roll by. It's part of my personality. It's part of who I am.
Yeah.
Of course, I did a lot of silly things when I was young, But I don't think
we
call them weird. Yeah, that's right. There's silliness that comes from youth and inexperience, and that's how you learn who you are as a being by making these mistakes. But I don't think that's weird as such.
Yeah, I think that wording in this question is not really well done. I think the word weird is too wide. It's got too... The parameters are way too wide, I reckon, anyway.
I'd like to stay in love with you all summer, and after fall I'll keep you warm through the winter. Ooh, 'cause I've noticed one thing.
Joined us. I'm Henry on Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia for Bondi Tunes International. I'm talking with Adam Devlin. I can't talk tonight in Brisbane, Queensland, and I'm not drunk. Melissa Green in Melbourne, Victoria. Are you friends with any of your exes? Melissa?
Yes. Lots of them.
Really?
Yeah, it helps that they don't live in the same country.
That's true. Yes. They don't live in the same country.
No, I've got an ex in Malta, I've got one in Turkey, I've got one in Switzerland. The one in Switzerland, we might correspond once a year around each other's birthday, just check in and see how we're doing. The one that's in Malta, I speak to him on Facebook regularly, and the one in Turkey every so often.
Okay.
There you go.
Adam?
Similarly, I'm friends with a lot of my exes. I'm just trying to think if there's any that let me put it this way. There are some that I'm no longer in contact with, but I certainly still consider them as friends, and we're not talking. We just aren't in contact, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that.
None of my exes, I can't think of any of my exes that I would want to shun or avoid.
So always,
Several of my exes I'm still very close friends with.
Did your relationships always end on, a nice note as against an aggressive note?
Mostly, yes.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a good ex.
You're a good ex. Do you think social media's got a lot to do with this?
I'm a better partner, but I'm also a good ex.
Do you think social media's got a lot to do with this? Finding exes, because that's, of course, you know, I've lived in different parts of the world and I'm from the other side of the world. So I'm finding a lot of my exes from my 20s, for goodness sake, on the net. And it's fascinating. Most of them have children. Some of them are divorced. Some of them never married. But they're all 50 something now. And it's just they're completely different people. And I find that fascinating because there's been a gap of 30 years. Sorry?
To them when you see them.
Say that again?
Are you still attracted to them by their pictures?
No.
Are you still attracted to them when you see their photos?
No. It's too much time, 30 years, anything between 10 and 30 years. It's just we've all grown up. Because, you know, when you're in your 20s, you make stupid decisions, you get into silly relationships, and you're all young and stupid. And we've all grown up, and we have completely different conversations because we're all adults now, you know?
Yeah. And look, I consider myself incredibly lucky. I've had a lot of relationships, and I've never had that toxic ex that is so prevalent in social media and in social psyche.
Yeah.
I've never had that. I've never experienced that. I've never had a bad breakup.
You know how many people who talk about...
An hour and a half with...
Sorry. I was just going to say.
I just spent an hour and a half with my therapist last night talking about an ex. That's a lot of money.
That's wow.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's
funny the trauma you have that you don't realize you have.
Yeah, well, that's why you're at the therapists. What amazes me is the amount of people who are so bitter about their exes and their relationships. And I just wonder, why do you spend this energy talking about something that's over? You know, it's like, it's not worth it, you know?
It's not.
I think it depends on your personality.
It does, to a large degree. But also, like, if you had a relationship with somebody, there's a certain amount of things about that person that you must have been attracted to and loved.
True.
And when the relationship fails... I would imagine that most of the time, those traits, those things are still in that person that you're now an ex with, and even if they've done really bad things to you, like just walk away. Don't engage in that sort of animosity between exes. There's no gaining out of it. There's no positive to come from it. And so I just always,
it's just bad energy. Felt that.
Yeah, I've always felt, when a relationship has ended, I just look back fondly on the things that I loved about that person.
Oh, you're such a positive person.
But if you were cheated on, I think you might feel differently. I just, when people can't let go of that stuff, it's usually because they were betrayed.
I've got to say, as far as I'm aware, I've never been cheated on.
Well, I have. And let me tell you this quick story.
And I've never cheated on a partner either, ever.
I had a girlfriend cheat on me, and I was really bitter because no girlfriend ever cheated on me before. And that was the early 90s here in Sydney. And we didn't know each other for like 25 years or something. Then I found her on Facebook, and I didn't hate her anymore because, as I said earlier on, we both grew up and we said, well, we're just kids, you know?
Yeah.
I've been cheated on by more than one boyfriend. It's very unpleasant.
Can you maintain a positive attitude, or are you just pissed off still?
Without getting into it, my first boyfriend when I was 15 was very damaging, hence me going to the therapist and stuff's coming out that I didn't know was there.
Yeah, subconscious.
And what I'm realizing is that some of his actions are still affecting me now as I continue to date, and I didn't know that that stuff was in there. And like, you know, he was such a bad boyfriend. He's reached out to me several times over the years to
apologize.
Last time I spoke to him, yes, the last time I spoke to him was well over 10 years ago, and he called me up, and I was living in Bangkok at the time, and he was like, "Am I the reason why you're not married?" And I said, "Sweetie, don't flatter yourself." But he was really, really like total gaslighting. You know, like, I'm like, "Hey, you're sleeping with this person." "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." I didn't know what gaslighting was when I was, you know, 15, 16, 17.
Really? Okay.
When it all happened. Yes. And, you know, as it turned out, he was sleeping with more than one of my friends.
Oh, my
God. You know,
goodness.
And that's such a young age for that to happen to you.
Yeah.
Look, you know, so.
I'm sorry. We've got to move on in a second because.
He was seeking. Go on.
Sorry.
He was seeking forgiveness and he never got it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And can I just say on that, Melissa, I'm pleased you're working your way through that with a therapist. That's fantastic news.
I didn't know I was there. Anyway, next.
What's your biggest fear? Biggest fear?
Mine's very easy.
I feel like I've been shared.
Sorry, Adam first.
Poverty.
Oh, yes, you've told me that before.
My biggest fear.
And you fought against that, being in that position. Possibly all your adult life. Yeah.
And look, and I know that I'm, you know, like most Australians, it's a month away.
Yes.
At any point in time. Most Australians, if they miss a month's salary, they could be thrust into poverty.
Even in the 13th largest economy in the world, this can happen.
Yes, absolutely. So that to me is, you know, I just, you know, I consider myself affluent. Not that I've got a lot of money in the bank as such, but, you know, I live a decent lifestyle. I've got a nice house. I've got everything I need. But losing all that and having nothing is a terrifying thought for me.
Melissa?
I'm going to say that mine is a little bit about similar to Adam's, maybe. Just a fear of failing in life.
Mm.
Yeah.
So poverty comes into that.
Yeah. To think that I've worked all my life and I end up with nothing would be soul destroying.
So many people are in that position.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's so many people at the moment older than me that find them, and a lot of them are older women, who find themselves now just having to live in cars because they can't get accommodation. They don't have money. They don't have superannuation.
Mm.
You know, they've had failed relationships which have left them destitute. You know, that just, I don't know how I would cope.
It's horrific when you think about it, isn't it? My biggest fear is heights. I have a terrible, even going up in a ladder freaks me out.
I have known you for near on 100 years now, and I did not know that.
Yeah, I've always, you know, people go, "Do you want to come on a cliff walk?" And I said, "I'd rather stick needles in my eyes."
Sweetie, there's a lot of cliffs. We went and had, hang on a second, we've had a seafood picnic on a cliff in Bondi.
Yes.
Overlooking the Sydney Harbour. You never mentioned anything about heights.
Well, I don't, because I'm a man. We don't talk about weaknesses. And I remember that. And by the way, our mutual friend Bruce has been over here just a half an hour before we went to air, and he was with us, as far as I know. Talking with Adam Devlin in Brisbane, Queensland, Melissa Greenman in Melbourne, Victoria, here in Australia. I'm Henry in Sydney. Now, I have to move on here and jump some questions because this one's important. Given the choice of anyone in the world, who would you want as a dinner guest?
You can take this one first, Melissa.
You know what? I am going to go really deep here and I'm going to say my friend Peter. Peter committed suicide at the age of 23, and I still think about him. He's been dead more than he's been alive now.
Gosh.
And I'd love to have dinner with him and just, you know, have a word in his ear and tell him not to do it, because, you know, we all still feel his loss now. And
yes.
I think that if he knew he'd still be with us. And I mean, that's a very selfish answer because,
no, it's
you
not.
Know,
no, it's not at all.
That's his choice, but that's who I would choose.
Adam.
Look, I you sent me this question earlier today and I've been thinking about it all afternoon, and you know, I was tempted to say people like, you know, Jesus Christ or Hitler or, you know, somebody like that. But at the end of the day, I am going to go with, similar to Melissa's, but I'm going to go with my mother's father, my grandfather on my mother's side, who committed suicide before I was born.
Gosh.
And thrust his family into decades of disruption and poverty and just...
What era was that, Adam? What era?
He would have committed... Mum and Dad were married in the early... was 60-odd years ago. 65 years ago, they were married, and he committed suicide just after their marriage. So it would be, you know, 60-odd years ago that he committed suicide. He was a businessman. He owned a farm. He just bought a hotel.
Did he have a reason?
Well, no one knows. He left no note.
And no one talked about it.
But my mother found his body, and he was still alive when...
It wasn't made to look like a suicide.
What he did was they lived on a farm, and he got the farm ute out of the garage, filled it up with fuel, sat in the back of in the tray of the ute, and blew his head off with a double barrel shotgun.
Oh my God! Sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, and my mother found him. My mother heard the shotgun and went, "What was that?" and went out, and there was her father in the back of the ute. And so obviously, you know, my dad drove the ute to the, because it was out in the regional country town, drove the ute into the nearest town where there was doctors and everything, but by then he was dead. He was still alive when my mother was holding him when he died.
That must have been terrible for your parents.
And of course, back then there was nothing like therapy or anything.
No.
And it affected my mother for her entire life.
Of course.
It destroyed my mother in many ways.
You mentioned in broadcasts with us over the last 14 years that your mother drank a lot. Do you think that's relative to this?
I absolutely do.
Right.
You know, it was, you know, the therapy of the time was just get over it and move on with your life.
Yeah, and who's going to do that?
Yeah. And so she had no avenue to even explore or express how she was feeling about what she had gone through. And so I would just love the opportunity to sit down with him and have a chat with him and find out why and what led into that, I never knew the man. It was years before I was born. I would love that opportunity to sit down with him and find out why he did that.
You both talk about people who've passed, people who you didn't personally know, your grandfather, Adam, but Melissa, at a very young age, you experienced a death of a friend. Mine's much more boring. I've said this before. Adam, we've talked about this some years ago. Broadcaster Andrew Denton. Now, he's on the national broadcast of the ABC, and I'm a broadcaster. We're all broadcasters, actually. And the thing is, I'm very critical of broadcasters that I see on here on radio or see on television. He is a genius, this guy. He's a brilliant interviewer. Sadly, he doesn't want to go on television anymore. But I'd have dinner with him. I'd have a great conversation with him.
He's amazing. He is amazing. And, of course, one of the biggest things that he's done recently is his campaigning for euthanasia rights.
That's
in Australia.
That's right, yes.
With the right to die. And
to do with one of his parents, wasn't it?
Yes. And I tip my hat to him for that.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Are you familiar with of course you're familiar with Andrew Denton. Melissa, are you of a different generation that would not have been attracted to Enough Rope, which is a show he had, or did you watch that?
Oh, no, even before that, he had a show on the ABC, I think.
Oh, he did loads of them.
Every single guest would do... Sorry. Every guest would do a cover version of Stairway to Heaven.
Yes.
Is that right? I didn't know about that one.
What show was that, Henry?
I don't know. Adam?
Do you know?
It will come to me about 3 minutes after we stop this conversation. So, but it won't come to me right now. But, of course, he got his start on...
The CD.
He got his start on Doug Mulray's Triple M radio morning breakfast show on Sydney radio back in the 80s.
Yes, in Bondi Junction. I ran into him in the pouring rain.
The Boy Wonder. Mm.
I was walking up in Bondi Junction. It was pouring rain and Triple M, which is a commercial radio station in Sydney, broadcast from Bondi Junction. And I ran into him and I said, hello. And he just glared at me and passed me. He wasn't impressed because people who are like that, who are well known in the media, do not like people coming up to them and saying, oh, can I have your autograph? We must go soon. This is a kind of a weird question, but what do you miss about your childhood?
I miss the innocence.
Yeah, I was going to say innocence as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I miss the lack of stress. I miss the lack of wrinkles on my face.
Yes.
Not being cynical.
Hmm?
Not being cynical.
Yep. Yeah.
Not being cynical,
which sort of goes hand in hand with innocence, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
I miss the fact that I didn't know so much stuff, which is, we're all saying the same thing, really. When I was in a children's home in 1969, when I was seven, I didn't know about the Vietnam War. You know, I just didn't know about it. I knew about the man walking on the moon, but I didn't know about the Vietnam War because the television was very restricted and I didn't know. I just didn't even know there was a war on. Yet
This is horribly ignorant of me, but was the UK involved in the Vietnam War?
No, this is the weird thing. I've been to Vietnam, and I think you have, Melissa, as well.
Yeah,
so have I. Oh, we've all been to Vietnam. I've seen that war museum. My God. Oh.
War Remnants Museum
in Ho Chi Minh
City.
It's Ho Chi Minh, yeah.
I've also been to the Tha Chi Tunnels, which was fascinating. Mm.
I didn't go to that. Yeah, the thing is, Britain, just in answer to your question, I found it fascinating that the Australians got involved in that war, the Americans got involved in that war, and the British said, nah, not interested.
Not our battle.
It wasn't our battle either.
I've never even thought about that question before, and I can't believe how obvious it is.
What?
The fact that the UK wasn't involved. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, look, it's been on my mind.
For us, it's so ingrained because we've got that song by Cold Chisel. It's the only time you used to see heterosexual men in a bar hugging. It's when K-San came on the radio.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was Red Gum with I Was Only 19.
Oh, yes. That's a full-on song, isn't it? Okay, guys, we are so out of time. Thank you so much for spending so much time with me here on Bondi Tubes.
Thank you.
A pleasure as always.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
Henry O'Donovan.